What's up, Internet, and welcome to Radio Radar's E3 Spectacular, etc., etc., day one.
Night.
It's 12:14 a.m. I'm Hollander Cooper. Here with me is
Henry Gilbert,
Ashley Reed,
Ryan Teljanik,
Sophia Tong.
And we're going to run through all the stuff that happened today.
All the stuff.
And then we're going to go to sleep. But we're too excited to sleep. We couldn't just skip this. We would be wrestling. I'd be flopping around in bed like a kid getting ready for a vacation or the first day of school.
Or like Christmas.
I'm Jewish, man. Why would you bring that up?
Oh,
the first day of Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a very eventful day. Some crazy things got announced. Some things we didn't expect. Some things we did. Our predictions, which we're considering doing our podcast on Friday, might just be us going through our 99 predictions and referencing all how we did. So far, we're very wrong. And we're doing a video podcast. Hi, video.
Oh, right.
That'll be on YouTube. You get to see us in our hotel room.
Yeah.
This big hand.
Giant hand in the middle of our table.
So here's the thing. We got to high five this every time somebody says something cool.
Okay. This will be the last time anybody ever high fives this hand.
So I got to high five it just once.
You don't have these in your room?
No, it's not in my room.
We have one of these in our room, too.
That's a very weird way to hold
a great hand.
I also want to
know how much did they actually spend? Because this is a heavy duty.
It's just a really heavy.
I guess that this
metal
was,
hand.
This was more than
it's heavy-handed. I would say
this hand.
Oh God!
Yeah.
High five for that joke. So let's jump in. We're gonna do chronologically.
That was nice.
If you haven't checked out the press conferences and you want to see an article explaining what you missed, GamesRadar has an article for every press conference that has a full like rundown of everything. We're just gonna be going through that because A, it's the only notes we have, and B. 9 a.m. was a long time ago,
was,
or 10 a.m. or whenever it was, so we don't really remember
9:30,
everything.
9:30, yeah. Feels like a different planet.
Yeah, so let's jump into Microsoft's press conference, which started with Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, which genuinely looks visually much better than Ghosts. It looks like a huge step
forward. This is the most excited I've been for a Call of Duty game in a while. So I've actually, I think Treyarch is now the A-team for Call of Duty developers.
This is Sledgehammer.
I know, but I'm saying, what I mean is I really liked Black Ops 2.
Right.
And I think that game did a really good job of showcasing some of the directions Call of Duty could branch off into while still being a lot of what people like about that game, about the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Ghosts, for me, it's just so underwhelming.
I liked Ghosts by the end, but so far this game looks great. So they showed off the visuals.
Yeah.
It was very, Ghosts looked like an upscaled last-gen game. This looks like a next-gen, cool particle effects, really good character models, huge locations. It feels like I was worried that they were going to take another year or two to make that full jump, but Sledgehammer looks like they're doing a great job.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, full disclosure, I do not like Call of Duty at all. I don't ever play any of them, sorry. But this one I was actually okay.
And then they didn't show Kevin Spacey.
Call of Duty.
But the funny thing is that talking to Zach all day, and he says only 10% of people actually make it through the campaign in Call of Duty, and they spend so much time reviewing single player and talking about it. And it's like, most people don't care.
The thing is, I am one of those 10%. I play for the single player. I'll play a good 50 hours of multiplayer, but I first, before I jump into that lengthy, sloppy buffet, I want to have the nice parfait that is
the 3-hour single player.
The 3-hour
explosions.
Parfait. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ashley, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it looks like it's got a lot to offer, just that first bit.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey.
Well,
dismemberment.
Let's talk about it real quick, too, some of the cool things they are. I mean, first of all, I'm really excited just about the setting in general. Near future, 50 years from now, what could we conceivably see? And you get
Mr.
the
Pax.
Sense, maybe all this stuff could be what...
Spider-Man's?
They still look like prototype-ish exosuits, that they're all wearing, those little exoskeletons, but it's like... But when you look at the military videos now of things that they're prototyping and testing, it's that doesn't seem very far off compared to what they're testing now.
Yeah, it looks super cool. And I think I'm seeing it. Am I seeing it? I think I'm seeing it
tomorrow.
So we'll be talking about it more on tomorrow's podcast. The next thing that was announced, Forza Horizon 2 gets a release date, which is September 30th.
Oh, boy.
This year,
and Evolve gets a new creature. I actually played that
the
new
tentacle
creature.
Guy?
Yeah. So he's
a
Kraken. His name's Kraken. So Goliath, the one they revealed that when the game got announced, is basically, they've described him as a King Kong meets Godzilla, and that's pretty accurate. He's a big, hulking
Goliath
that breathes fire and throws rock and can jump really far. The new character Kraken is basically like an electronic Cthulhu. Like, he can actually fly. Where, like, with Goliath, you, like, kind of look where you want to jump, and he leaps in that direction. This guy, you hit A, and he just jumps into the sky and starts flying, and then you can, like, full-on fly in any direction.
That's awesome.
Like, you can only do it for so long before he kind of gets tired and you have to land, but you can still just, like, Goliath, you were leaping away. This guy, you're just like, peace out! And you just kind of fly away. And his abilities are really cool. One is just, like, an electronic pulse that just hurts everyone around you. One is a laser that just comes from the sky and hits down. One is a vortex where he kind of blows, like, a whirlwind at enemies. And then he can leave little electronic mines. He plays a lot differently. And he was... I played as him, and I didn't bother playing as the hunters because...
Yeah, it's fine.
Ain't no
Why
one got time
bother?
For that.
I mean, we've seen that.
New hunters and everything.
Yeah,
but
they still probably play very similarly.
Yeah.
Did they have a new set of hunters?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
I didn't even...
But you can't...
I couldn't tell because I was too busy devouring that.
Yeah, but it does make me really excited just to see what other monsters they'll have that they'll reveal.
If they're so different.
Yeah. I think it is such a cool concept that I think I'll have a problem with it just because, like, it is, you have to play your class, and I'm not very good at, like, playing the class and being a team player in, like, shooters. I usually need a lot more direction.
Hank doesn't play by the rules.
I love team shooters.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to this. It definitely feels like a good step from Left 4 Dead towards a next-gen
Plus
experience.
Plus, it just looks really good.
It does look really good. Next up, and we can talk about it now and skip talking about it at the other two press conferences. It was at Assassin's Creed Unity.
Ooh, that was a
sexy
trailer.
Four-player co-op.
Man.
In the beginning of the trailer, he climbs that giant, like, mound of, like, wheelbarrows and stuff from where half of Les Mis takes place.
The barricade, yeah.
And they show off four-player co-op. You wrote a lot about it. So you dug into it and learned stuff that none of us saw.
A couple things, yeah. Like, I learned just from kind of their text documents what the main character's kind of like, his name, why he joined the Assassins. He's got kind of an Edward feel
so
to
what,
him.
So what is he? What is his shtick?
It was pretty short. It was basically that he somehow feels responsible for the death of his adoptive father.
Mm-hmm.
And so
sounds
he
about right.
joins the Assassins to seek redemption and take out the forces that are really behind the revolution. And just from looking at it, kind of makes it
the
look...
Templars.
And it kind of makes it look like the Templars are actually on both sides, kind of like how they swung World War One, but World War One wasn't actually a setting, so it'll be the first time they've actually done that as
Oh, so
a
it's
setting,
like they basically wanted to create a war, so they joined both sides and pushed them to the brink, kind of a thing.
Yeah,
that's
pretty
cool.
Much.
And that's a way we've never seen Assassin's Creed. And wow, did it look good? Seeing
oh my
it,
God.
They
oh, co-op.
That first video that showed off like months ago. It was like, look how many things are on screen. And we were all like, no. Like, this is bullshit.
Well,
and they showed it, and wow.
I think one thing that really surprised all of us were the sheer amount of characters that were on the screen
of
at any
detailed.
Time.
Detailed.
Like, okay, now you're in a city full of people, and you totally feel that
like,
way.
And it's not just like in Dead Isle or Dead Rising. It's like, okay, there's 150 zombies that all look the same and aren't really detailed. These characters all looked like full rendered, crazy detailed characters, and I think our video guy Thomas, who's sitting behind the camera waving, said he's like those actually look like crowds you can hide in instead of just like four monks kind of high fiving and you trying to hide under them like you're under the Eiffel Tower. They're just like they seriously. It's like wow, there's like 500 people. I can hide in that crowd.
And you'd really need to for like the French Revolution. You would have to have that if like you had like five piddly dudes walking around. It wouldn't feel like the French Revolution. So
and that makes me wonder too. That makes me wonder too. Like what other settings have they purposely not explored yet because of that exact reason?
I bet you.
We need people on screen.
Digging into like World War One and World War Two. Like they could do some really cool. Imagine I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but I want everyone to close your eyes and imagine like D-Day, except you're an assassin. Like you hit the beach and then all of a sudden everyone runs out and you just have like your blades and you're just running down the beach. I know it would be ridiculous, but man, would that be great.
That's real.
And also, you had nothing to climb over.
Yeah, you do. The people corpses of all of the American and
that's
Canadian and
you
what? There's
there.
A lot of. A lot of people died on
people
the
tucking their organs back in.
Also, some really cool things that we
parkour
saw.
Parkour over that.
We're like, it looked like a one button press thing where like you would get a HUD overlay that would show points of interest instead of pulling up an entire map to find out where that stuff is.
Game changing, amazing. Just because of how complicated things have gotten.
And one thing I was really freaking out about was like, oh my god, when they're dropping down, like the sense of gravity is totally there. Like you're so fast, and the way they're swinging on all those beams and things, it's like, wow, that looks way more realistic, or what I imagine a forceful grab of
way
a
more organic swing
would look.
I actually found out something pretty cool about that was because they actually changed the physics of how they were doing parkour. So you're not just moving on the horizontal plane, you're actually moving on the vertical plane too.
Good.
So that's great. Pretty awesome.
It just looks so good.
Yeah. And
even though 4 was like, playing 4 on next gen or on PS4 or Xbox One, it did feel like up to date, but this one looks like leagues, ahead of
one and a quarter leagues. Yeah. I wouldn't pluralize it. And also the 4-player co-op, which does look a lot like it looks a lot like we talked about on the podcast before. It does kind of look like what they did with Watch Dogs, in that like you are joining people's games and having them join you, but it's not going to be like you're sitting in a lobby waiting. It looks very organic. At one point, it was just like, hey, do you want somebody to join in? All right, they're
in. You just hover over like certain quest areas, and then you can see like who's playing like under your friends list, and you just join.
They revamped the questing system, and it looks all like a real open world game kind of. This looks to me like as big of a jump as from Assassin's Creed 1 to 2. Like they didn't really take things back to the drawing board because they didn't have to between 2 and 4. Like, they just kind of iterated. And this one, it feels like they're like, all right, what if we tore everything down and rebuilt it?
They just perfected all these, like, little things that you didn't even know were important. Like, you kind of just got over the little annoyances, and now they're gone. And it's like, oh, my God, that's so much better.
But the question remains, how many tailing missions are
there? I mean, there were a lot of... There were it feels like if you look, there were just less of them in every game, including Watch Dogs. Like, there were some in Watch Dogs, but there weren't a ton of them. But... That's a good question.
Tailing missions in restricted zones with nowhere to hide.
Oh, good. Good fun. There were some in Assassin's Creed 4 that were actually super fun, but there were some that were... Most of them were... There was bushes everywhere, and it was really cool to just kill everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, another game that they showed off that we actually got to play today, Sunset Overdrive.
Oh, yeah. How was it?
It's all right.
Video game?
Yeah. So we only played a really tiny chunk of it, though. We got one round on one map of the Chaos 8-player Horde mode.
Yes.
Oh,
and it's if you've played a Horde mode of any game,
it's Horde mode.
It was pretty much Horde mode with more weapons, and you could do that thing that you do in Infamous where you ride on rails.
Yeah. So like this is one thing I've been trying to talk a lot more about in my previews lately when games do it very well, and that is really capturing a good sense of mobility, because I'm realizing more and more like that is a very important part of games to me, is making sure that I feel like I'm able to move around as quickly as I need to get things done. And this game does a really good job of that. So like John mentioned, like you can just somehow grind with your shoes on on rails, and it continually moves. Like a lot of times it's set up in squares or rectangles or circles or something where you don't really have to do much input aside from the initial activate the grind mode.
And I think you're doing that, if you're looking towards an enemy, not directly at them, you'll see a little indicator showing that you'll hit them if you shoot. So you don't have to like... aim and shoot while you do it. You can kind of just aim your cursor at enemies and your character will automatically hit them.
Yeah, so that part was really great. And I think the game is... I love its, over the top kind of, style.
Tone, yeah.
And all the weapons and everything are totally in line with that.
We had a gun that shot records.
Yeah, it reminded me of Revolution X, that Aerosmith game.
Yeah.
Because it's like, totally. You're shooting discs at people and they're like sticking into their bodies and they're sticking out.
Yeah, there was a giant monster. So it was basically just wave-based multiplayer. Yeah. And honestly, like, we both walked away. Like, that was only okay. But I watched some people play other modes and it looks like those modes are going to be a lot more fun. I think it's just that mode was like, it's a Horde mode. It can only be so good. Because it didn't really revolutionize anything. But there was this giant hulking monster that we were all shooting and fighting at, and I shot a bunch of records into it and then jumped over him and changed and then like fought him for a few more seconds and looked, and his side was just covered with records.
Yeah, it's really funny. And then there's guns too, like a grenade launcher that actually shoots teddy bears that are
have, like,
explosive.
C4 attached.
And there's like lots of goofy things like that. So those are all really fun to use.
Yeah, it looks cool, and I'm... And we actually got a rundown from Ted Price. He's just like, hey, let me explain this game to you. He was just like hanging out and like grabbing people to talk to about the game with. But
Why not?
The art style looks good. It controlled really well. What we were doing was boring.
Yes.
But the rest of the game looks like it won't be. I mean, it's boring. But like, Horde mode's always just fun. It wasn't any
like
more fun.
Modes.
And from seeing other people play like the open world stuff, the navigation and momentum was so good that I think just running around the world's going to be super cool.
Yeah, I almost get the sense that this is sort of what they had envisioned for Fuse initially, and that now they're like, well, screw it. Obviously, that game didn't do well. Let's see what happens if we'd kind of stuck not only to our original plan, but let's take that a little further and make it a little more eccentric.
The trailer was great, too.
Yeah,
the trailer was super funny. You can check it. Just make
it. It's a fucking video game.
It's basically a Gearbox trailer. Like, it wasn't it wasn't an Insomniac trailer.
Yeah.
We're going to jump through the next things pretty quick. Dead Rising 3 gets DLC that has a bunch
hilarious.
Of has a bunch of like Street Fighter characters in it, and
I love
good
that
stuff.
It was.
I like it was named.
Yeah, the Capcom making fun of its own name and convention.
Ultra Dead Rising 3 Super Plus Alpha Championship Edition.
Quite as that's ever. Hilarious.
Dance Central Spotlight, which you played a little, right?
No, there was in there were like an alpha when they were showing.
Okay, yeah, it's
it's Dance Central.
I ran into Nick Chester, who's one of their community. Is he community or is he
PR.
Like
PR?
Who used to be from Destructo, and we chatted for a while. I'm like, so what's Dance Central on the Xbox One? He's like, people kept saying you guys should make Dance Central on the Xbox One, so we made Dance Central on the Xbox One. And it was like, that's what it is. It's like we made a really cool downloadable Dance Central. Everybody wanted it, so here's what it is.
That's one of the few games I can convince my girlfriend to play with me simultaneously when nobody's watching.
Like, you can port
we'll
over all
your
old songs.
In general about Microsoft, did you notice that they brought it up on Spike when we were watching the pre-shows and stuff that they didn't say Kinect. I don't think
they said it like once.
They barely said Kinect on the whole thing. Like, Kinect became a dirty word. In general, in their press conference, it was slightly conciliatory and just like they weren't saying like, hey, we screwed up, but they were saying like, we listen to gamers, we still want to keep hearing what you
they
have
just
to say.
That seemed
nothing
to be the theme
games,
for like all the
which
press
was great.
They
maybe they've learned their lesson.
It was just all games like Fable Legends, which we saw it a little bit today. I have no idea how it plays. Yeah. Visually, it's an Xbox One game. It looks next gen. It looks cool.
My favorite part that I'm looking forward to is actually playing as the villain, right? So it's like a four-player co-op game where you guys all group up, and it seems sort of like a gauntlet-style hack and slash or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you can also play as the villain, which involves like a top-down view where you're setting traps, sort of like a tower defense against actual players.
Mm.
And so you're setting traps, you're spawning monsters to stop them. It's like, that part would probably be really fun.
Yeah, it looks cool. And next thing they showed off was Project Spark, which looks like Project Spark always had, but it was capped off with Conker, who I guess is going to be a part of the game.
I saw people were pissed at that.
What?
I had people in my at replies on Twitter, a couple, and I also saw NeoGaf. It was just like, they thought Conker showing up was a fuck you to Conker fans, because they're like, Conker basically says, oh, you're not going to give me a sequel? I guess I have to sneak into this. Then so people's response was like, oh, you won't give it a sequel? You're just taunting us?
Those are the same people that think anytime Mega Man shows up in a game, it's Capcom trolling them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
just for sometimes it's just what you do.
I mean, do they think they were going to get a sequel?
Who's
living
happen.
Under that fantasy?
No, they may get a new next-gen remake, but that's it. Ori and the Blind Forest. How about that?
Yeah. That's my game of show.
I got to play that today. I actually missed the trailer of it on the press conference because I was busy writing up something else that had happened. So I played it at the Microsoft event that John and I went to, and it. Okay, so I think it runs on the UbiArt framework engine.
You spent like an hour trying to figure that out.
I swear this has to be on this engine.
It looks
if it's not, I don't know what the hell.
Only websites that confirm that it is
are in Spanish. So I'm just like, I don't fucking know. But it does look like that engine. It's basically a Metroidvania game. You play as Ori, this little forest spirit or something, and your forest that you're in has been like decimated by darkness. It's almost like a Child of Light premise where it's like everything's very dark and gloomy now and you have to restore the balance. And but the gameplay is really, really fun. One thing I really liked is, so you gain a little spirit friend early on that it does all your attacks for you, and so really you're just mashing a button and it hits whatever's closest. But the challenging part of combat is all the enemies use multiple projectile attacks, or they launch themselves at you, like they jump at you. And so it's very much about you dodging those while you're mashing this button.
Almost like a shmup, it sounds.
Yeah,
like.
And it's really, really cool. I was like, that's a very interesting way to approach that in these sorts of like 2D side-scroller games.
Yeah.
And you just gain new abilities as you go on. Like, I got, in like the 20 minutes I played, I got the ability to wall climb so I could jump up walls and get higher.
Yeah.
So I very much think it's going to be a very great Metroidvania game. Very, very charming kind of thing. And I'm really looking forward to it, yeah.
So yeah. Cute.
Sneaking on camera for a second.
Oh, just getting some buzz.
So all right, getting some buzz. Halo the Master Chief Collection. It's the thing that was rumored. It's all of the Halo games. Yeah. It's all of the multiplayers, too, and specifically online versions of all of them, including Halo 2's, like, untouched. They're like, we know...
Bugs and everything.
Yeah, like, we are not changing anything.
They mentioned that so many times. It's like, seriously, nothing changed. Nothing changed.
100-something maps?
I also thought it was impressive, too, when they were like, and we even retouched some of the things in the earlier games. But if you don't like it, you can turn that off. Like,
they showed off. They said they went through, like, the 100 maps and chose, like, 20 or something to just, like, update to, like, Xbox One graphics. But they left the other graphics the same.
Yeah.
It looks kind of cool, but also kind of silly.
They're scared. They're terrified.
And it comes with Halo 5 beta access.
Yes, which is in December.
So, yeah, you play Halo, you beat 1 through 4 of Halo, just mainline it all for a month, and then straight into the beta.
Sounds good to me. Limbo developers' next game, which they've been working on it like since Limbo, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks almost like if Limbo and Papa
EO
had like a super depressed baby, which their baby could only be depressed.
I'm bummed. This was another one I didn't actually get to see
the trailer
for, so I'll have to check up on it later.
Yeah, it looks like a cool trailer.
I think it looks like Limbo 2. Like, we were looking at, we're like, Limbo 2?
But it's like it's full 3D looking. Like, it's still a side scroll.
3D. And there's like a little touch of color.
Yeah.
I could envision it as like another part of that same world that Limbo takes place.
That was the Phil Spencer t-shirt moment where he came out. He was wearing a Limbo t-shirt when he presented it.
Lara Croft and the Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yes.
But it's holiday 2015, which makes me so sad.
Well, just her talking to a psychiatrist that's like, bitch, you crazy. It's basically what he's saying in that thing. Because she's just like sitting there tapping her foot and going crazy.
Well, how could you not? Like,
I know she's been through some horrible stuff.
Well, not only horrible things, but just being on like such the type of adventure that people would never believe you saw.
Like, listen, Shrink, my friend was being taken over by a witch, and I had to pull her off a pedestal and fight an ancient genie.
So, there's no going back to just normal life after something like that. And that, I think, is such a cool setup because it makes so much sense why she would be constantly putting herself in
situations.
Now that
she's she has become clinically insane after the adventure of Tomb Raider, then now she's like, I guess I only feel normal raiding tombs now, so I guess this is my life. Like,
yeah, and I kind of I appreciate because the transition in the first game, it was so quick. She was just like, innocent girl to killing machine.
My favorite line in that is, because I mean, that's been a big controversial point, but I like when she kills a bunch of people and they're like, that must have been so hard. And she's like, it really wasn't. Like, I thought that was such a good way of dealing with
it. No, it was great. Yeah.
So I do like that. I like how they're kind of bringing it back to that. It's like, she did turn into a killing machine and it messed her up.
Yeah, looks really cool. And I'm happy they're making it.
I'm very excited.
Crystal Dynamics was talking like they might get shut down or who knows what would happen to them. But they're also making that... it wasn't shown during Microsoft.
The Temple of Osiris.
It's four-player co-op.
Yeah.
Looks cool.
Like Guardians of Light.
There was a Witcher trailer that looked good.
Looked neat. I don't know if there was really much new about it.
Phantom Dust?
Who saw that coming?
What the hell was that? Well, first off, it was crazy to see Ken Lobb out there, which for old-school Nintendo fans like Ken Lobb... he's an evil defector to Microsoft. But now that
Ken Lobb, best known for having the worst gun in GoldenEye named after him.
Well, yeah, so I got to know Ken Lobb by name as a kid. Like in 1996, they sent out these promotional videos for the N64. And so they have Ken Lobb, who was a Nintendo employee, like, here's what an analog stick was. And he was explaining an analog stick to you and the Nintendo controller. And so I always remember his name. But yeah, in the 2000 or so, he went to Microsoft. And that when he
didn't
was.
Didn't he go over with Rare?
I think he was a transfer with Rare, yeah. And so when he said that he was going to bring back an old franchise and one he really liked, I was like, well, what Rare franchises are left that they have the rights to? And then it wasn't. It was Phantom Dust, a game nobody remembers from the original Xbox. And it's impossible to even talk about the original Xbox because a lot of people want to say, oh, on the Xbox. Are you guys saying the Xbox One?
Yeah, it's a weird, weird thing. But then Hideki Kamiya's new game,
that was a shock.
Scalebound.
Scalebound.
Did not see that coming at all.
No way, nope. Yeah.
See, and it looked awesome.
Yeah, it looked awesome.
It's, it's them making DMC.
Yeah.
DMC and Monster
Hunter. In which you fight fucking dragons.
Yeah.
Which is like, and he wears that dragon armor he just summons. Like,
yeah,
that guy was
straight up Dante.
Yeah. He was Dante with short hair. Because at first it's like, that kind of looks like Dante. And he's like, how you doing, buddy? And it's like, all right.
But Kamiya's a cool guy. It was weird that Kamiya seemed like nervous speaking English on stage, because I follow him on Twitter and he tweets really well in English. Yeah. He retweeted a tweet right afterwards where somebody said, like, I don't want to pay $500 to play your next game. Why are you putting it on the Xbox One? And he just, like, replied back, like, deal with it.
Yeah.
And no, then, he said too bad.
The
only right answer, really.
And then they ended their show. I mean, they showed some other things throughout, but they ended their show with a teaser for the new Crackdown. And if you didn't play either of the Crackdown games, Crackdown 1 was really cool. It was an open world. It actually had a lot in common with, like, a lot of people said that Saints Row 4 was basically a spiritual successor. Like, it's an open world game where your character basically has superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cool art style. You're going around doing cool stuff. And then the developer of that, Real Time Worlds, went on to do APB.
Oof.
Which failed miserably.
And they handed Microsoft Game Studios, like, a different developer. I don't remember even. Was it?
It was Ruffian Games.
Yeah, Ruffian Games, Crackdown 2, which was garbage.
That was one where they added zombies to it.
Yeah, they added zombies. It was a really rough game. And the big news is Crackdown is back with the original lead producer and lead developers.
Oh, good.
Yeah. No zombies. Right, that's always a good sign.
But yeah, time to give Crackdown another chance, I guess. But
yeah, you might as well.
I guess you may as well make. You gotta make some.
Yeah. So, what did you guys think of Microsoft overall?
I actually thought it was really good. I think it was the exact sort of message that people wanted.
They didn't spend a second
talking about anything but games.
Yeah.
And I don't think they could have done a better job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that the only way they could have done a better job is just by having more big games. Well, sure. Theoretically,
we know a new Gears is coming and all that, but. We also know that stuff is so far out. Like,
I guess my worry is more like they still don't have a big 2014 release.
Sunset Overdrive is that release. Like, you just need to get used to the fact that Sunset Overdrive is that game. Like,
it's that, and it's the Master Chief Collection. Yeah. That's what they're banking on.
I think they're more banking on Assassin's Creed Unity and Far Cry. Like, they're just like, listen, we're not bringing it this year.
Well, the third party stuff is going to carry both Sony and Microsoft.
Yeah.
But neither one of them have much.
Well, we didn't talk about that either. That they mentioned several times exclusive content or premiere content for it. Like, so they're banking on people going with Call of Duty Advanced Warfare first on Xbox One, though. I'm wondering if that will happen this year. But same with, like, Dragon Age Inquisition, Evolve. Like, they're trying to get people at least with exclusive DLC like that.
Yeah. Moving on to the next press conference, that was EA.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They had donuts there.
That sounds nice.
Started off with Battlefront.
Battlefront. Now, when they did that cool thing where they're like, yeah, we went to all the original locations of the shooting and, like,
showing them in, like, the cold.
And they showed the side-by-side transformation of the real-life location into game. Mm-hmm. And there was that, like, little bar that went across to let you know, this is the game version. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Jesus Christ, that looks almost exactly like the real-world version.
Well, and you just hear that John Williams music and it just pulls you in immediately. It was also cool seeing, like, just the stormtrooper helmet, like, they had rendered.
Yeah.
And
they basically, they had in-engine footage that looked crazy good, showing off Endor, showing off Hoth, and they said they were going to find out more in spring of next year. But
which is not a release date. That's when you'll find out more about the game.
Though I still expect to see that by the end of the year.
I think it'll be like in November 2015.
I bet you both Star Wars games are going to be at the end of next year. Because when those movies hit, people are going to be insatiable looking for Star Wars content.
Yeah, probably. Brilliant. Or they could, I mean, it could be just an annual Star Wars release. Since it's annual Star Wars movies, annual Star Wars games.
Yeah, they could have one a year.
But DICE isn't screwing it up, that's for sure.
Like, well, we've always said, too, like, if there's one, or at least I've always felt this way, if there's one developer I would want to give Battlefront to, it's absolutely DICE.
There's no other developer that's, like when EA got Star Wars, everyone was like, oh, shit, just imagine if they gave Battlefront to the developer that makes Battlefield. Like, when they announced Battlefront, it was like, oh, you know, it's, like, the first one, it was like, oh, it's kind of like Battlefield with Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, it's... it everything came full circle. Mm-hmm. Next up, we got Dragon Age Inquisition, which just looked really cool. You can check out article on
Very
it.
Very exciting.
We saw some conceptual prototype work of Mass Effect.
There's a lot of conceptual prototype in that press.
You might
conference.
Say that it's one of the trends of E3 2014, which is in an article on GamesRadar.com. Hopefully, by the time this podcast posts, it's not going to be up by the time this podcast posts.
It'll be up at some point.
Come back next. Later.
Tomorrow. Later.
Which is today.
In the future.
Because it's 12:44.
That reel of stuff for Mass Effect was so weird because it seemed like the start of them revealing a Mass Effect, and then they like just walk up to the edge and they're like, yeah, we're going to talk about it later. Also, we're making a new IP and that's it. Bye.
Yeah, that's it. I'm like, wait, what was
and there was like stuff in shockingly, which was kind of weird for this particular thing. I can't remember what we were watching. It wasn't Twitter. I think it was the Spike interviews that were going on at the time, and they actually said stuff in those interviews that they didn't show
it
the actual
weird.
Thing. And I'm like,
yeah,
that's weird.
Jeff Keighley was just like, hey, is this Commander Shepard? No. It's
a
story.
Whole,
it's like a whole new story.
No.
Oh, are we going to see any familiar characters? No.
Familiar races?
Yeah, it was no just, characters. It was very, like, they could obviously just be lying.
But
it ended up, like, usually they're like, well, we don't have anything to announce right now. But he was just like, no. It's
no,
not
yeah,
like
no.
that story
I mean,
is
that,
over.
That's consistent. Like if you look back, even at our own coverage, like a year ago, they said the exact same thing, and they're just sticking to it.
That's
so true.
Well,
like,
that's good. I don't think. I think it'd be weird
Shepherd
to pick back up
done.
With the Shepherd thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's still late. So I'm going to start pointing at people, and I want a one-word reaction to some of these games.
I see.
Sims
Lee.
4.
Awkward.
Cute.
Dead.
Bruce Lee in UFC.
Whatever. That's cool.
NHL 15.
What?
Hey, beautiful clothes. In
the shirt physics.
Those shirts.
PGA Tour 15.
Okay, Evolution. I thought that was
no,
funny.
We should probably... Okay, we could pause and talk about this because
oh,
I'm
like,
going to play PGA Tour
play
15.
Now.
For the first time,
right?
I will play a PGA
There's a
game.
Battlefield level with Levolution.
That is
yeah,
great.
Extreme courses is what it's called here.
And that's just what they showed. I'm just like,
yeah,
there's got to be some...
I love that because EA Sports games, I loved the EA Sports Big. Remember that when they had the like SSX was under it, but also and NBA Street. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like over the past 5 years, like EA Sports had lost a lot of its sense of fun with its sports games. They're like, nah, it's serious. This is a serious sports game. But this year they've dumped Tiger Woods. They're like, nah, done with
Tiger.
And so what they got if they don't have Tiger, they're like leveraging EA famous EA things. Like I wouldn't be surprised if there would be a Mass Effect stage or
ooh,
on like a
planet.
Which is so cool because
or
like
a Mirror's
Star
Edge
Wars.
Stage or Grand Dragon Age.
And I think it's great because it's almost like this Mario Golf thing where it's like you have this serious part for people who are really into golf sim.
Yeah.
But then you have a part that's really goofy and wacky for people like me who don't give a shit about golf, but I will play that game because that's
looks,
really cool.
Exactly, it looks really cool. And then we got the Untitled Criterion Project,
which
is more
weird.
Conceptual footage.
First
so it's
I was
basically
like, please not Need for Speed, but with just helicopters.
So it's basic. So,
I know.
So there's really not a ton to talk about, but it's basically they're making a new game. It has
every
skydiving, helicopters,
every vehicle, flying
every vehicle
stuff.
Ever. It honestly feels
and
like
you
they're
can
just
swap between them whenever you want.
From the looks of it, it
looks like first person GoPro YouTube videos.
It looks like I was joking when they were showing it. It basically looks like the GoPro official game because they keep talking about GoPros. But it kind of looks like right now they're probably in a stage where they're just experimenting with every vehicle possible and they want to put them all in. But I don't know if there's a game there yet.
Yeah,
it looks more like they've created kind of a sandbox where you can.
There's no title. There's no. It's like here's what we're doing.
Yeah.
It'll be called Burnout, right? I think you'll
burnout,
find eventually.
Probably
GoPro.
Not.
A very,
I don't know.
Burnout GoPro edition.
No,
because
Burnout has a certain... Burnout is a game where you crash things. This doesn't look like you're meant to be smashing things into each other to seeing how the parts...
It's just hard to imagine EA launching something that isn't a famous brand. That's all.
We'll
you
see.
Never know. We'll see.
Then you got Madden 15, Dawn Gate...
Dawn Game MOBA.
Mirror's Edge. We finally saw some,
some more
conceptual. Yes.
So the one cool thing we noticed about Mirror's Edge is that the game used to have melee, but it was kind of janky.
Yeah.
The new melee looks much more organic.
Well, in the sense like they made a point of it too. Like it's more integrated into her parkour movesets. Like it's
It's really not just you like run up,
you
stop,
and you punch somebody. It's like you're wall jumping. Oh, by the way, you can jump off and kick.
Yeah, it almost looked like the Anthony Pettis UFC kick off the cage that they showed off in the first UFC trailer, where a guy just basically does a kick.
Showtime kick.
That's right.
Thanks, Thomas.
Thanks, Thomas. You're there for us. And then you got FIFA, and then you got Battlefield Hardline.
Cops and Robbers.
Very problematic, apparently.
I mean, we're talking really intense robberies here.
Yeah.
It's not just a house robbery.
I saw people making fun of the fact that, like, their robbery... their equipment was millions of dollars of equipment. And then to steal this thing, like... These guys aren't terrorists. They're not ideologically bent to destroy things, or they're not an army, and yet they still like knock over a crane that like destroys two buildings.
Do you want to go to jail for your
buildings.
Entire life?
I don't.
I can't go back.
Yeah,
can't go back, man.
I pretty much spent the entire time being like, "How is this guy not dead? Like a rocket goes off in his face. He's just like pummeled by glass from a collapsing building." I'm
he's just watching.
Terminator? Is that you?
I think it looks cool though. I'm still skeptical about like. I understand the cops and robbers thing.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a time where 32 cops have had to try to stop 32 robbers from robbing a bank? Like,
I don't think so.
But that I kind of feel like they
almost should have like said it in like the 30s, because then I have no frame of reference. I could at least pretend.
Yeah, I feel like it is maybe a little too over the top for me.
Though there was a white van that pulled up that they could get into, and no joke, sold me on the concept.
All they needed
more.
To do immediately after that is like whip open the back door, and like people, the robbers are getting out while one stays behind and goes, "I got to hack the mainframe," and he's just smashing keyboards with his fist.
So, what do you think of EA overall?
I thought they did a pretty good job, honestly. I mean, I think they hit all their big properties. And even the ones that are so far out, like Mass Effect, they're like, yes, this is happening. Here's just random glimpses of concept.
It feels kind of like what they're doing what people want Microsoft to do, but they're not.
Acknowledge the stuff. Yeah, like, just get people excited.
People want the Microsoft press conference to be like, here's 2 seconds of Gears, but Microsoft's not doing it. And the funny thing is, I feel like that's what people want them to do. And when EA did it, it's like, actually, we kind of don't want to see like an untextured ATV doing a backflip off a cliff. Like, maybe that's a little too
well,
early.
I think the difference there is they chose maybe some of the wrong games to do that.
They chose weird games.
Like, Criterion stuff could have not mentioned that. I don't think anybody would.
It was weird that
like,
he said, like, we have to reveal this because it'll leak anyway. Or, like, it's maybe, too good. Yeah. No, people won't keep
so
it a secret.
Jaded.
I was like, really? What? This didn't look. I mean, it looked good, but. This would leak.
I also thought it was a really cool move on their part to be like, the beta access for Battlefield Hardline is now.
That was pretty impressive.
That's
I was
always
waiting
nice.
For something like
and
that.
And then they lifted the curtains off the side, and you're like, because they invited a lot of community people into this event, and then they're like, here, play it right now.
Yeah, that's
smoke machines.
Good smoke. Good presser. Moving on, Ubisoft started with more Far Cry 4 and showed off the main villain, who voiced by Troy Baker.
Of course. Really? Who isn't voiced by Trey Baker?
And looks to be a very, very different kind of psychopath from Voss, but immediately you know that he is a full-fledged psychopath.
Like, I get the sense, and maybe I'm entirely wrong, because I didn't actually get to watch this very closely, but I did kind of get the sense that he was more sane in a way, but just he was aware of his, like, weird idiosyncrasies.
I don't know. I kind of thought that, like, because there's a scene in the beginning where, like, he basically, a guard doesn't do what he wants him to do. And he pulls a knife out of him. Or it's a pen, I think.
It's like a tiny knife.
And it's like, I was like, oh my God, he's going to, like, stab him in the neck. But he, like, stabs him in the neck and then gets on top of him and keeps stabbing.
Yeah,
and that's the part that, to me, was like, this guy is fucking nuts.
He's... What I mean is, he's very conscious of what's going on.
The sociopath,
but
he's
just Blackbeard style.
He's
just
prone.
He's
just prone to just rage.
Actually,
you know, like I think maybe that's kind of how his character is.
But he was like Voss. He was funny too.
Yeah.
Like he had humorous definitely. Thing. Like he was sad that he got blood on his shoes, and like his last line was like, "Let's tear."
He took a selfie.
He took a selfie with you. Yeah,
that was genuinely funny.
As he lights a truck on fire and kills everyone inside.
Also, I love when that trailer started that they swore at, like that was when it was off Spike. We were watching the stream, and once it wasn't on cable TV anymore. Like they just started going like fuck. Like Aisha Tyler swore so much,
like a sailor. That one.
I did want to say something real quick because I found out something. Don't quote me because it could be completely wrong. But what I was seeing was his name is something like Pagan Min or something like that. And he's actually controlling the operatives that the main character is attacking in the actual gameplay footage we saw. So I'm interested to see how that works out. Because he seems like he's trying to, like, recruit you.
Yeah.
But...
Voss kind of had a similar, like, you have a lot of face-to-face interaction with him. I'm interested to see how it works out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then we got Just Dance 2015.
Oh, yeah.
Still fun.
With your phone?
iPhones.
Cool idea. I don't know. That game's just never been quite as good as Dance Central.
And then we got The Division, which we just saw more of it. We did see more of the crew. That game's starting to look
Driving across
better.
Country.
Mm-hmm. I saw The Division just tonight at an event, and it was the demo they gave. But it was the interesting part of it is that they wanted to show off that the you go to only so many different areas, but how much the areas change based on time of day, weather, and setup. And they also showed like the dudes in the super depressing trailer with the fire guys. Like they're this group. What are they? The Flame. Shit. They're the cleansers.
The flame shit.
They're the cleaners. They're the cleaners. They're trying to clean up the contagion, and their way is to burn everything. But they just have their fire looks great. The fire just it is amazing looking.
Like, as is everything in that game.
Yeah, it all looks awesome.
Snowdrop engine. For
a second, I thought we were back on the crew, and I was really confused.
Oh, no. Wait a
minute. Just got to burn all the cars. We have to talk about Shape Up, though not for the reason you might expect. Shape Up is their exercise game.
Fitness game. To make fitness fun.
And they showed off a push-up game with former GamesRadar editor-in-chief Gary Steinman competing in a push-up competition and winning.
U.S. versus France.
So it's funny because Gary is solely responsible for both you and I having jobs.
That's correct.
And it was weird.
We're responsible. He just helped us along the way.
Right, of course. But it was weird seeing
him
in that
position.
Well,
he hired me, too.
Wow, yeah. So,
very funny, though.
They showed off a game. He decided to wear a neckerchief on stage in front of hundreds of thousands of people.
And Twitter blew up. Like, us three, at least the three of us included, like, Twitter blew up in my feed of just, like, at Gary Steinman's on stage, at Gary Steinman. Like,
the funniest part was the fact that like there's a lot of people in the industry that just assume anybody that goes on stage is just a hired actor. Mm-hmm. So I saw like Jim Sterling from Destructoid, now at The Escapist, being like, look at this dork with his neckerchief, not knowing that it's like former, like he's interact. Like Gary gave him work at one point, I think.
It's
but
like you've worked with him
You
before.
Just don't think that. You just see some guy in a neckerchief and think like, oh, wow, makeup. But it's like if you follow Gary on Twitter, he wears a neckerchief. That's just the thing he does.
Which is like a newer development for him, I think, like in the recent months.
Working for a French company changed him.
Yeah. As would anyone, I think.
Incrementally more French over time.
One quick bit of trivia about that I found out from Gary.
Are you about to drop us neckerchief trivia?
Well, first off, that he then gave a neckerchief to our old buddy Ann Lewis, like as a congratulations. Like, we did it. Here's your own neckerchief. Gave her one. Too, and then also
he's trying to own the neckerchief, and it's not going to work.
Well, and that he had to do it every time they did a dry run rehearsal of the thing. So just to set up the camera, so he had to do those push ups multiple times over the last 3 days. Just
good
push up competition.
That's what he gets. Valiant Hearts was shown off. We've
oh
seen
my
it
God,
a few
I'm
times
so
before.
Excited
it looks
for
like
that.
The most depressing game ever. Made.
Every
time.
I'm starting to think I'm just an absolute sucker for anything that's put on that engine, I think.
It might be the case.
Well, that
but they're all like
we're just an absolute sucker.
Kind of stories.
I might just be.
And the whimpering dog, that wasn't it? That's
yeah.
how we got
you.
Oh
you know what trailer
all
is
the
good.
Letters.
And
oh
he falls asleep on the graves of all his dead friends. Like, there's hundreds of friends I've had, and now they're all dead.
It's like the dog outlives all the people.
And then there was the one more thing of the Ubisoft press conference, Rainbow Six.
Oh, yeah.
So we were talking a little bit before the show. We're all like, okay, we know they have one thing to show that we don't know what it is. What is it going to be? And somebody brought up Rainbow Six, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's definitely going to be what it is. But none of us knew it was going to be Siege because we all thought maybe it would be Patriots, which now I guess is 100% canceled.
Or if they were like, maybe we should bring back Vegas because that was really popular or something like that.
But Siege looked so good. And Henry, you actually got to play it.
Yeah,
I played it too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So first off, Siege is like, it's like old Rainbow Six. It does not screw around. Like, you're used to these other shooters that with auto healing and like you can take a couple mistake bullets. Like, no.
There are no mistake bullets in Rainbow Six.
When I played the first level, like, I went up to the roof and then there was a shoot up on the second floor and I was like, oh, I need to get down. Jump. Hit A. I thought I hit A. Drop. Hit the ground. Dead.
Oh.
Like, two-story fall. Dead. Like, I'm not used to that. It seems so small scale compared to all the other, especially like say, The Division, which is like all of New York City, but
this is a house.
Well, that is
a big house.
A single house.
But it is one house with like multiple floors. The hostages are inside.
No, just one helpless hostage woman. I don't know why they just had that.
Yeah,
you know, it was weird to me that she could never just walk herself. Had to just like hold her by the throat.
She's in. I'd like to see how good you walk around when people have been pointing guns in your face all day.
Yeah. I would wager that probably not very well.
But yeah, it's about setting up traps. The people inside set up traps. All the walls, like, seems like every surface is destructible.
You can barricade everything.
This seems to me like the sort of destructible environments I've always wanted to have in a shooter.
Yeah, yeah.
It's practical.
Literally, you can blow a hole in any wall, any ceiling, any floor.
Mm-hmm. But that's why the stages are also kind of small buildings, because just to fit in that much destructibility.
But
that was another bit that I was shocked by. It was like, okay, you got to set up that wall too.
Yeah.
Like, and then when I thought, like, oh, there's the window. That guy's going to come by the window. I'll shoot him. And then the guy just shot me through the wall. I'm like, I shot through the window. So he knows I'm on the other side of this wall. And he just shot
it's
me through the wall.
It's super strategic. Like, you have to coordinate with your team members and tell them, be like, okay, what room are you in? Because it's hard to see around blind corners. And you have to set up your drones or hop security cameras to see your guys.
And I love the countdown of, like, every time someone dies, it starts 5v5, then 4v5.
And you're 4v4, like, yeah, it's pretty 3v4. Intense.
Also, we should probably acknowledge that last week on the podcast, we read in somebody's prediction that they said, oh, by the way, I have a leak. As you may know, Rainbow Six Patriots was announced a few years ago but disappeared into nothingness. Last year, it was taken back to the drawing board to be overhauled and will be unveiled at E3 this year as a completely new game. Last I heard, it will have a new name and be based around hostage situations. There will be a slew of different nationalities to play as, and a number of toys to protect a generally four-story building as you are holding a hostage, and at the other end, you get to play as the SWAT team, the other team's victims. It's pretty much Ubisoft's attempt to throw its hat into the Battlefield ring. So
wow!
Heard it here first.
But you know, one thing that really excites me is Rainbow Six has always been a franchise about strategic planning, a lot of prep going into a mission before the gameplay even starts, and then execution. And if you've ever, you know, spent a lot of time planning a Rainbow Six mission and things start to go wrong, like, then the split decisions that you have to make are really, really intense. And I feel like this is a really good extension of that. And I'm so excited for something like this.
Yeah. What do you think overall of the Ubisoft press
conference? Oh, man, I thought they did an amazing job.
Yeah.
Which is funny because, last year, weren't we like, ugh, Ubisoft had a terrible conference?
Well,
they always have awkward moments, but this year it just seemed to like go by really well.
I didn't think last year's was terrible. It was kind of up and down. I didn't like that H. Tyler had like the Girlwood t-shirt. I thought it was just like her overdoing a joke. Like, it was her t-shirt
was very straightforward this year.
Yeah, but she was also like, she felt very real on stage.
Yeah.
And she also felt like she was going off script a lot more in good ways.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And
her saying like, you're going to have to hear that happy song, guys. You're not sick of that, right?
Very funny.
By the way, they played the whole happy song almost. That was ridiculous.
I know.
And then Lady Gaga's applause.
Yeah, good press conference.
Yeah, it was.
It was good, yeah.
All right, let's jump over to Sony. We're almost done.
All right, that was a long one.
Destiny gets PS4 beta this July, and there's going to be a Destiny bundle with a white PS4.
So, yeah.
I want that PS4, man.
So, it was weird because there was a little bit of confusion. The way they had mentioned get beta on PS4 first and the alpha first look. Like, so the alpha first look, I think, is exclusive just to PS4. The beta, I think, they get like 4 days early access, and then the beta is available to Xbox One and PC.
Yeah, they're very careful with the wording because they're like, oh, coming first, but it doesn't say like it's exclusive.
There was a little bit of confusion about that. But, it looks all right.
Yeah.
It looks all right.
Yeah, Sony's going for hearts and minds with Destiny of just convincing consumers, like, though they could buy it on the Xbox One, think of Destiny connected to the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, they're just trying to kind of convince everyone of that. The Order 1866 had a new 1886 had a new trailer. The trailer was so dark that I pretty much had no idea what was going on.
I spent the first minute. I'm like,
I loved that it finally showed like the creatures they'd been sort of talking about, like because in a lot of the backstory stuff, you're very aware that these exist.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you're in a war with monsters. We're not showing you monsters. Like,
and that thing looked really creepy.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was pretty much just a werewolf.
They're afraid. They're afraid to call werewolves. It's like in that movie, The Underworld, where they're like, "No, they're lichens. They're not werewolves. They're lichens." But
like, shut up.
Yeah, I know. But I thought it looked good. Like it did the same thing that it did so well in the stuff we've seen before, which was just shift from action to cinematic and back again, like so seamlessly.
Yeah,
like, it did very good. Pretty,
and that's like, on they. Finally gave it a release date, February 20th, I think.
Yep, it's coming out sooner than I think a lot of people thought, considering that delay was people thought.
I'd still put $5 down that it won't be February. Yeah.
We will see. Let's see if you have to put your money where your mouth is come February 20th. Entwined is a new IP, and you don't have to hear us talk about it because it's already out, and other websites have probably already reviewed it if they don't have everyone sitting at E3 right now.
So I will play it, probably.
Cool.
I was hoping for more reveals like that. Of just like
I thought it was that game company's game. I was like, oh, it kind of looks like Flow, Flower, and Journey all put together in one. I'm like, nope.
I definitely saw like 4 or 5 games today that were just like, they just ripped off that game. Well, not ripped off, but like
inspired by
that game company.
Yeah. Infamous is getting some DLC.
It's standalone, which is cool.
Yeah, standalone DLC.
You don't even need the game.
Yeah.
More importantly, though, Little Big Planet 3.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, our stream went down for like 45 seconds, and when we came on, they were like 30 seconds into the Little Big Planet thing, and we're like, what the hell did we miss?
Yeah.
All the characters.
We ended up seeing them, but I think it's interesting because Little Big Planet 1 was huge. 2 came out so soon after 1 that it kind of burnt a lot of people because they made a big deal out of like, we never need to make sequels. You can just make everything. And then they made it really quick.
Sequel.
Little Big Planet 3, though, looks like a sequel that was needed because, A, it's bumping it to next gen and every single level ever made can be transferred with next gen visuals.
That was a pretty great. They had to do that, but I didn't think they'd pull it off.
And more importantly, 4 different characters. So there's a bird. Dog,
Swoop the bird, Oddsock the dog, and Toggle the large or small guy.
Yeah, and then Sackboy.
Yeah.
Looks cool.
Yeah, I'm
excited for it.
And it's one of those rare games we saw today that is revealed and out this year. Like it's their November game, or it is a November game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bloodborne.
Yeah. So
Project Beast, that's
what Project Beast is actually called. And that trailer was so dark also that I could barely tell what the hell was going on.
The name Bloodborne was actually leaked or trademarked or something like a few months ago, and nobody knew what it was. Nobody drew the lines between Bloodborne and Project Beast. But it looks Dark Souls-y, but not as much as I thought.
Yeah, well, it was so hard to tell from the screenshots, right? Because they were like, fog gates? That's weird that they're... Okay, so maybe just all From Software games from now on are a derivative of the Souls kind of formula. But you do definitely have a shotgun and a scythe. That is what your dude has.
A really big scythe.
But it looked like you were interacting with people more.
I couldn't really tell.
I couldn't tell because it was too dark.
You were cutting open something
or someone.
It's really creepy.
It's probably really gory and really, I would imagine, challenging. So yeah. I'm excited to hear more, honestly. We still know so little about it.
I still think it's crazy now that like a From Software logo can get huge applause on in an press conference. Mm-hmm. Like that would 4 years ago, even people would have been just like, if they even knew what From Software was, it'd be like, oh, the Armored Core guys,
So Dead Island 2 was announced, which we got interesting information on that wasn't shown at the convention, not developed by Techland.
Yeah. Oh,
this is developed by Jaeger. From
that's what Jaeger. That's their next game. Wow, boy,
it was so weird to me that,
that
you didn't
is complicated.
And the thing
that makes a lot of sense because it seems like those guys are a lot more spot on with what they make, and that's exactly what they did with that because that's what Dead Island needs to be.
Yeah, Dead Island needs someone else, and I'm really hoping because the trailer was very cartoony. There were some people thinking that it might have been like a weird left, like it may have been the new
I thought it was Left 4 Dead for a second.
It kind of looked like the art style was almost Fortnite. Like, it had that kind of really cartoony art style, and I'm really, really hoping that they carry that over to the game, because we do not need another realistic first-person zombie game.
Well, I mean, we were talking about that earlier, right? Like, the trailers for both Dead Island and Dead Island Riptide were very self-serious kinds of things, but they were not at all in line with the tone of those games. Not even. Because they are really goofy and weird.
Yeah, that, like... One of your guys is a rapper in Dead Island, right? Yeah. And they just make up a thing like, oh, no, you're immune. Why?
Yeah, and it's just like, and if any of, you know, if anyone's played those games, you immediately be like, oh, yeah, I strapped some electric wire around a machete, and now it's an electric machete. Like, it's not, none of it was ever serious.
Now it makes sense that, like, Dying Light, they started making Dying Light because they got Dead Island taken from them, or, like, Dead Island's not there,
or they didn't want to make a new Dead Island. Or it was probably they wanted to make a big Dead Island, and Warner Brothers offered them more money for it, but they couldn't take the name with it.
So here's what I'm wondering. Like, is Dead Island, like, this could be a really, really good game, and I wonder if this will now put Dead Island in this interesting place where suddenly it's a very popular and well-known brand.
Dead Island is the Demon Souls to Dying Light's Dark Souls.
Yeah. So... I don't know. I'm really curious to see how that plays out.
Yeah. Some other little news bits. Disney Infinity is going to be getting Avengers specific PS4. Hulk is going to be exclusive to PS4, which doesn't actually make sense because I know the figurines are cross. I think there's going to be a specific bundle. The PS4 bundle is going to come with the Hulk. The other ones aren't, but you're still going to be able to buy a Hulk toy because
they may have said exclusively first to whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Diablo 3 is getting an exclusive Last of Us dungeon.
That's weird.
With like clickers and stuff.
It's like, all right, sure.
Magicka is getting a PS4 sequel.
That's a cute trailer.
And Grim Fandango is coming to the PS4.
Nobody would have saw that coming.
That's awesome.
And so I was handling the Twitter during that, and I tweeted a joke about it at Tim Schafer, and he actually might have revealed some information to us, because he made a joke like, yeah, somebody hacked into the game and put point-and-click controls in there. I prefer the old tank controls. So I guess that means they're redoing the controls.
Always.
But I wonder if that was one of Sony's like moves to just get like a cred move, because I can't think like... Grim Fandango's not going to make them a lot of money.
Oh, that's not going to sell.
But they can just say, like, people love Double Fine. Let's just see if Double Fine wants to do something with us.
Yeah, of course they would.
Well, I'm excited.
But
because...
did LucasArts own Grim Fandango?
And I remember seeing Tim Schafer posted something on Twitter that was like, thank you to Sony and LucasArts for letting this happen, kind of.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Also, LucasArts doesn't exist anymore.
Well, Disney then, I guess.
I'm also excited because this is one of those games where... that is often talked about, like, yeah, it's such a great, you know, such a great shining example of point-and-click games, and yet you can't play it.
Yeah.
And so I've never played it, and I'm excited for the opportunity.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Suda51's other new game that isn't Lily Bergamo.
I kind of want to
see Let It Die.
Yeah, I was hoping to see Lily Bergamo, honestly. Like, Let It Die was just weird. It was a very weird Japanese trailer. It seems like it's, like, cooperative, multiplayer, monster killing.
It kind of looks like a... like a realistic version. I mean, didn't look like it was in game, but it looks like the tone was a realistic version of Mad World.
Yeah, a little. It reminded me more of Shadows of the Damned. When I first started seeing it, I was like, is it another Shadows of the Damned? Because it's the same kind of gross underworld, but it's more gross than silly.
Yeah.
It looked okay.
And then we saw Abzu.
Oh, that one looked interesting.
Developed by Giant Squid. It's an interesting looking indie. And then No Man's Sky, which...
Oh, man. That looks awesome.
It looks like... That game, if
it... has dinosaurs.
If it fulfills its promises, is going to be one of the weirdest, coolest games ever.
Yeah.
Quite a change from Joe Danger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then they showed off some free-to-play games. They talked about PlayStation Now.
Weird, long section.
Some people asked us to talk about like the pacing in the press conference.
Had a good
it
start.
It wasn't just
and
you.
And then just fucking crashed a good 25
it was
minutes.
Literally the first hour was great. Mm-hmm. And then the guy who made Vib Ribbon took over. And for 25 minutes just didn't talk about anything. He just kind of was like... He talked in circles about just like, hey guys, we make video games, and we made, I made Vib Ribbon, and did you buy a PlayStation? Cool. We stream stuff. A lot of people play on the PSN, and he just kept going for 25 minutes. And then when he left, it's like, oh, thank God. And then somebody came up and he's just, Andrew House was just like, let's talk about TV shows and movies. And it's like, what did
that
you not learn from
on?
Last year?
That was really weird because I felt like in the aftermath of last year's E3 that Sony fanboys on NeoGAF and whatnot, they were saying like, hey, we only talked about games, none of that TV bullshit. And then here comes Sony at the end of theirs like, yeah, we're making this original TV show. We're doing all these other things. And yeah, they have.
It went on for so long.
And I was the audience for that. Like, I've read Powers, the comic. I'm a huge fan of Brian Michael Bendis. But, like, that wasn't the right place for him. It was just not a good time. But PlayStation TV?
PlayStation TV is going to be $100. But it just felt so weird that, like, Sony has been doing great with momentum in every way. And for them to just have an hour of crazy momentum and then to kill it to death.
Like, well, their investors are also there, too. So I think it's partially for them.
Yeah.
Or mostly for them.
A lot of masters to serve.
Yeah. So PlayStation TV is coming this year to the U.S. and the U.K. Not PlayStation Vita TV anymore. Though they did say that 100 Vita games are in development right now.
That's a lot of Vita games.
Mortal Kombat X.
They had that Vita list of games, I was just like, that's a super obscure Tales game. That's a downloadable.
Did you hear nine of the 10 games they talked about were all on PC.
Well, when Jack Tretton was on the Spike pre-show leading up to the Sony thing, that Jeff Keighley asked him about the Vita. Like, how come we're not seeing these big Vita games? And he's like, well, and he basically is like, well, you know, the Vita's not doing amazing, so nobody's going to pay for that. And he pretty much straight up answered the question, which I thought was kind of cool. And
weird and refreshing.
I mean, and it's like, okay, yeah, that's pretty much what everybody assumes to be the case.
The Vita's still fun.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, Mortal Kombat X.
Mortal Kombat X.
Oh, my God.
Which I'm shocked at how close the in-game graphics looked to that CG trailer. It was almost identical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I really doubted that. Yeah, I really doubted that CG trailer's veracity, but then seeing it in action, I was like, yeah, it was pretty much it. And the three new characters that were in it, my favorite was the Master Blaster guy. I think it was everybody's. Like, is that you guys, Master Blaster from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome? The little guy that rides a giant guy?
Oh, yeah.
That's it. But that they were working in tandem, and like the big guy would throw the little guy at the guy, and it was like these combo moves. Like, that was fun. And like the X-ray moves were nuts.
I did love it.
We managed to stay pretty quiet, except for like, oh, that's cool, or ooh, cool. The entire last minute of that trailer, we were just
screaming.
Every one of us like
screaming.
We just kept like our voices.
It was pretty squirmy.
It was really weird. It was real, but it looked really cool.
Looks fun.
Last of Us looks good.
Yeah.
Spoilery trailer.
Metal Gear Solid 5 looks good.
Yeah,
weird trailer.
It was great because the guy gets cremated and the Snake takes the ashes
face.
And Ryan went like he should just put it in his mouth all over his face, and then Ryan looked away and looked back and just sees him smearing the ashes.
I said it as a joke, and then he did it. I was like, Jesus Christ, why did he listen to me?
In the longer version of that trailer, there's a weird line where Snake says like, we will take these ashes, turn them into diamonds. They will shine brightly forever. We are the diamond.
I was the lightning in that storm.
Exactly. Yeah. It's Kojima. It was a cool song. I like the song.
It was a good
cool
song.
It was
a good song.
I just love those super melodramatic lines. They're just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think they're meant to be so emotional.
Yeah, that you can only experience in a Metal Gear game.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So earnest.
Grand Theft Auto 5.
Which I was just like,
so you were there. You saw it without compression. It looked no different from Grand Theft Auto 5 last gen to us.
I mean, yeah. It just...
I wonder, though, if that'll be a case of... Because really, those models look pretty good.
It'll probably just be like there'll be less texture pops. There'll be less like things popping in. There'll be more pedestrians.
I think you'll just see more when you're around.
Yeah, when you're around. But
yeah.
I doubted that this would happen, and I've been proven wrong.
And it's getting a PC version. Finally.
I mean, yeah.
So really, it's just bring GTA 5 to new consoles.
That's pretty much it. Scarecrow trailer for Arkham Knight, and the trailer, oh my God, looked good.
Let's talk about, Henry, you as a comic book reader, I don't know about a Batman suit that is so mechanical that it's popping plates in place.
I mean, it's kind of a takeoff on the movie, The Dark Knight one, that it's like well-placed bits of armor for functionality, because like the classic Batman costume, as close, the closest it got was in Arkham City, where it like looked almost cloth-like, but with like padding or whatever in it. But really, a classic Batman costume is just like, no, it's just, it's a cloth costume. He just wears it and he has a cape and a cowl, but they kind of just, for as beat up as he gets and have all his gadgets and stuff, it, it's basically become like RoboCop armor.
It almost has to be, though. Like, can you, the beatings he has to be taking.
Well, to be fair, we learned in Gotham that you don't actually die when you're beaten up by somebody or when Batman's car shoots a rocket launcher at you. He has the craziest non-lethal weapons that basically, like, he was blowing up cars.
But
he doesn't kill anyone. We're like, I'm betting that when you drive up to, like, you blow up a car, it's just a huge fireball, and then you walk up and there's just like guys laying next to it like, oh, it's, you heard us.
Well, the first demo, he did snap a guy's neck.
No, he broke that dude's arm. Remember,
oh,
he was
his
holding
arm?
His arm and he goes like snap, like,
oh.
Yeah,
I feel like,
which was hardcore for bats, but he didn't break his neck.
I feel like companies are just kind of like, well, we want to make video games like we always do, but he doesn't kill people.
Well, they
crap,
did say too
we...
that those cars he was blowing up were unmanned, remote control.
Of course
they're drones.
They were Google cars.
Well, as I think it is, the DC has a very hard rule on there. Like, Batman doesn't kill, period. Like, to make an open world action game, like, you have to do things that would kill people. Like, because
he runs over somebody in his car at one point.
Let's also talk about the amount of force that you would hit somebody with if you had just been gliding from, 50 stories.
And then punching them in the face.
And you kick them in the head.
Sometimes you
gotta. You are dead.
So you gotta get the job done. Also, I think officially, Batman villains are not allowed to say, don't worry about Batman, because they've all had every bone in their body broken by it. Like, in the trailer, just the Penguin is like, don't even worry, he's nuts, he's none of your business. It's like, I broke your nose in the last game.
And Sony did that same damn thing they did last year, where they're like, oh, now's the opportune time to zoom out, way back, so you can't see what's going on. And he's like,
they did the same thing they did at
the
GDC, remember how everyone made fun of Gamescom, where like, they spent, every time they showed a game, they would just show like sweeping shots of the audience, and like you'd kind of see
the
screen.
Like, wait.
They kept doing that, except it made sense for Batman because the Batman feed got hacked. Though it got hacked by Scarecrow. It feels like he's the last in line to be hacking shit.
I guess Scarecrow has that tech too. I mean, he's a scientist, so
shouldn't it be like I would guess the Riddler can hack people. The Arkham Knight may hack stuff.
Maybe you could say that his fear toxin got into the room and it was a mass hallucination. Maybe it was that.
Also, I wonder maybe too if that hack sequence went on for that was really good. If the hack sequence was going on for just a little too long, because we were all like, oh, it's probably fake.
I came this close to, since I was tweeting for Games Radar, this close to tweeting, huh, I guess we know why Batman Arkham Knight got delayed. But so they actually, that troll worked.
Yeah,
that worked very
and
good.
The last announcement out of Sony, Uncharted, A Thief's
Not
End.
Last Guardian.
That's
Last Thief.
Yeah, the last.
For as little as we saw.
So,
yeah. And I mean, and I was the one who got to work on that one. I was trying to, like, pull pieces out of it, what little we absolutely could. Pretty much is what we know. It's Nathan Drake's back in the game. He's been out of it for some reason. We don't know why, but he has. He's back with Sully. Sully's going to help him one last time. I'm guessing Sully hasn't been out of the picture. Nathan Drake still has his wedding ring on, so Elena might be coming back in some capacity, probably.
Or, like I said, between the events of the two games, he broke up with Elena and formally married Sully.
Anything is possible.
Could happen.
It's possible.
It's legal now.
It's legal now.
It's like that entire...
Also, he probably has a medical marijuana license.
Also legal now.
It's legal now.
That entire trailer is just a lover's quarrel.
No judgment zone. All right? But
Face looks awesome.
It looked really good. He looks more like Nathan Fillion than ever.
Well, and one thing that I thought was really cool, and we also talked about this a little bit earlier, was... because we'd been joking, right? Like that, oh, the trailer will probably open with him, like, all beat up and in a bad situation, and he'll laugh it off and find a way out. But to me, it felt way heavier. He was just like, seemed so exhausted and just like, tired. I have to go through with this.
Yep.
I wonder if that's like the message Naughty Dog is saying, like, we really didn't want to do another Uncharted, but you're making us, so like, one more time, we're doing
There was an industry insider I saw some tweets from where it's like, Uncharted 4 is going to be darker and heavier, and I'm like, I want to believe that because that's what it kind of looks like, but...
I don't know. I think that that trailer, at least to me, conveyed that. And I'd be totally fine with it, honestly.
When they call it The Thief's End, like, that feels like it's the end of it, but
they could also, like we were saying earlier, it's like, I'm okay with that being the end, if not only because I would do anything if Naughty Dog was like, hey, the next Uncharted game takes place during the 70s and you're playing as Sully.
Mm-hmm.
With like 70s spy gear, you find out he was like in, like, that'd be cool as hell.
Indiana Jones, it can take place anytime, as long as he was alive.
I can also possibly see just like pulling something right at the end, and it's like, oh, there was actually a different thief that you didn't know.
This guy was the thief.
This other guy was actually.
Oh shit! What if it's Sully? What if he's the thief that's ending?
They already.
That guy's like dealt with that. Years old.
They already made me think he was dead the last time. I'm like, I'm not gonna buy into it.
No,
again.
That was genies.
Yeah, but so since they already got that, like if they do it now, like
if they just do it for real, that'd be cool. Yeah. I mean, not cool. I'd cry like a baby. I'd sob uncontrollably. Mm. So that's Sony. What do you think of Sony versus Microsoft?
That's tough. You know,
third party to really make that fight.
It's true.
I'm going to say Microsoft, actually, because just presentations together, I still think the PS4 is the system to get if you can only buy one of them. But I think it was just like their reveals were about equal. Tomb Raider was a complete new thing, meanwhile Mortal Kombat and Batman I knew about ahead of time. And meanwhile, Sony had to take time to talk about TV shows, and that was boring. Like, I say Microsoft.
Microsoft had the better show.
I think I would say so too, but also because it's just like I had definitely different expectations coming in. I kind of had low expectations for Microsoft just because of the way they've been presenting themselves. Right. I kind of expected more of the same, and I didn't get that, so I was like, oh, that's great. And then PlayStation, they had a pretty strong showing still, but the fact that they've done so well before, and then it was just like, was kind of like...
Yeah, I'd say Microsoft definitely kept the momentum going a lot better. I was probably more excited about most of the Sony announcements. But the way a lot of them were presented were just like so underwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah, Microsoft has a really strong opening. Like, I was so excited this morning, and after the show, I'm like, man, if the rest of the day keeps up, like, that'd be great. But yeah, Sony just kind of. I know, Sony ended on like, oh, this is dragging on, I'm really tired, and okay, let's just wrap it up. But yeah, good job, Microsoft.
Yeah, I think Microsoft had the better show in terms of like performance. I personally think Sony had the better lineup. I honestly feel like LittleBigPlanet, for what it's worth, means that Sony now has the bigger exclusive for 2014.
Yeah.
Like for the rest of the year. Like Sunset Overdrive, especially after going hands on with it, isn't the game that's gonna be like, oh wow, yeah, that's the exclusive. That's the big game of the year. Whereas like LittleBigPlanet, it might not be a huge, huge AAA game, but at least it's like it's a Sony brand game that is coming out this year that is like widespread appeal.
And it's like you've got two 2014 releases probably, or like three, so there isn't too much competition.
Not that it matters, because from October till December, you're going to just be doing nothing but playing third-party games, because there's like a million of them coming out.
Oh my god. October is crazy.
Yeah, October's gone nuts.
There's a lot, but I think that's it for today. We have to wake up, because it is now 1:27 a.m. We have to wake up in about 7 hours to talk about Nintendo. Welcome back to Radio Radar. We said we were going to take a break and then do a new episode, but we decided to just lump them all into one episode, so we're just going to jump into Nintendo.
We're a lot more fresh-faced than we were in the last video.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're not falling asleep. We're just waking up.
No, that'll be like an hour from now.
Yeah.
So the Nintendo Direct started off with about 2 minutes of Robot Chicken jokes.
That was fun.
I missed
perfect.
Oh, they were so good.
They were really fun.
I loved when they made fun of the Mother 3 guy.
They referenced Mother 3 in the Nintendo Direct. a guy said, Reggie, where's Mother 3? And then Reggie lit him on fire. Though, interestingly, that only other thing that guy said was, Reggie, where's Star Fox?
Mm-hmm. Which was real. See, this thing that should have been getting you to think Mother 3 still will never come out only made you think it more so will come out.
Nintendo's just trolling us. But the first thing they actually talked about once they finished dancing around via claymation was new characters for Smash Brothers.
Mm. Yeah, that was exciting seeing the Reggie versus Iwata video. It was so cool, like super produced.
Yeah.
And though it was weird watching it now when you hear that Iwata's not here because his doctor won't let him go. Because
Reggie punched him too hard.
Makes sense. True.
Yeah, but you got four new characters. One is Lady Palutena, who they actually revealed at the end, but we don't have to go through it that way.
Yep. From Kid Icarus, in case you don't know her.
Looks cool.
Lady Palutena's from. Yeah, she looks cool.
But the bigger reveal is three new characters via three different Miis, who was your Mii, or Reggie, or
anybody you want,
with three different characters. One with a sword, one who's just a brawler, and one with a giant gun.
Yep, Gunner, Brawler, Sword Fighter.
And they all have like really, really different play styles, right? So, and you can choose their movesets from a total of like 12 each.
It looks like it, yeah.
So it's like that,
different combos that and stuff is, like that.
Yeah, that potentially makes for dozens of different kinds of characters.
Yeah, I think they actually specifically said it's basically 9 full characters, but like almost a crazy amount of customization.
And because we've been playing Tamagotchi Life and we've seen all the different kinds of Miis we can have there, we know we can have all kinds of weird fighters in Smash Bros.
I'm just going to warn you, I'm going to punch you in the face as hard as I can.
I can't wait to import my Steven Tyler.
Ooh, that'll be good.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I've heard that name too many times.
But after showing off those characters, they finally talked about NFC via Amiibo.
Yeah.
So it's like,
here's the thing, at least they're calling it something that people aren't going to mistake for something else.
Cage fighting.
Well, like Wii U. Like they're not.
It's a very specific name. I guess that's why they're doing it. But Amiibo is like, it's going to be so. Can you imagine a kid saying, like, Mom, get me Amiibo?
Yes. Kids say dumb things.
Yeah.
I guess so.
You're talking to people who went, Mom, get me some Pogs.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, the.
Mom, I need those balls that roll around.
Those NFC figures looked really, really cool, though.
Yeah.
Like, their detail looked awesome.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. Definitely looked a step. I'm not going to say, at a glance, they look probably on par with the Disney Infinity.
I mean,
but more detailed. Like Disney Infinity is like purposefully undetailed.
Yeah, but definitely many steps
above. Well, they
went with
a different
above.
Art style. I like the fact that they're staying true to what the characters actually look like instead of giving it a stylized look.
Yeah. But it's not they're not doing NFC in the way that Skylanders and Disney did, in that you're not just buying the toys and those are the only characters you play as. Mm-hmm. It's almost a separate meta game where you take your Mario. There was Mario, Link, Samus. Wii Fit Trainer, Donkey Kong, Yoshi Peach, Villager, Pikachu. At least like 10 they showed off. You take it, you put it on the gamepad, and you load them into your game, and they can join you, fight against you, fight with you. Or you can just, and by doing that, you're training them and leveling them up, almost like a Tamagotchi. And then you're putting that, you can go to your friend's house and make them fight, and then it's like, well, mine, you could say, like, my Link is better than your Samus. Mm-hmm. Besides us being able to play it, I just trained mine up a lot.
Yeah.
And I think in general, the Amiibo means that they don't have to build an entire game around it or, like, make, like, they have to add some massive addition of Amiibo's NFC action to Smash Brothers. It can just be a bunch of little things in games. Fitting whatever the developers want to do with it.
Though I stand by my theory that it's eventually going to funnel towards one big game, though it looks like that big game isn't announced yet. Though they did say that it's going to work with Mario Party 10, which, by the way, that's literally when they revealed Mario Party 10.
Yep. That was amazing.
It's going to work with Mario Kart 8. They're going to patch in support for that.
Yep.
It's going to work with Captain Toad's Wild Ride.
I'm so looking forward to that.
Captain Toad Treasure Seeker.
Treasure Tracker.
That looked great.
That looked fun.
Great, by the way. There were so many little... Yeah, so a lot of Nintendo was a lot of little things after Smash Brothers.
Including Yoshi's Woolly World.
Aww, which I love.
So cute.
The animations in that are incredible.
Yeah.
And, it looks so good.
And it looks much better. I lost a little Yoshi faith after Yoshi's New Island, which wasn't terrible, but was not good. It wasn't great. And so this one seemed more fun and more in keeping with the Yoshi style. And I just loved like the little conversations they were having with the developers, where the developers are like, we even knitted our own Yoshi just to like get into it.
I feel like it's taking on this whole new like platform, though, because like with Kirby's Epic Yarn, I didn't feel like it played like the other Kirby games, like its own thing, and this whole yarn thing. so creative.
It looks so.
It's like Little Big Planet with all the balls and
yeah,
it
looks
and
like then,
cubes. I love the exploration. Looks like a lot of fun. They're like, that's pretty much what you do, and it's like yeah. good because it looks great.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks really cool. And then there's then they announced a bunch of digital games, including the Captain Toad Treasure Tracker and the Kirby
Kirby's Under the Rainbow Curse, I believe it is.
Or just Kirby's Rainbow.
No, or Kirby's Rainbow Curse. But it's Kirby. It's a Kirby Canvas Curse sequel, which if you haven't played that one, it was one of the first 3D, first DS games that really sold me on the concept. Like, it was just you draw a line all over the screen and Kirby rolls around it. You could, like, draw loop-de-loop to get him to get more speed. And so now I've been waiting for them to make a sequel for almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm. And it was a good game.
This is just the type of thing that, like, that their downloadable platform is made for. Like, it was barely a retail level game as a launch ish game for the 3DS or for the DS. Ugh, I keep saying that, but on the Wii U, like it fits as a $10 download. But it does. It is weird to see Nintendo announce any downloadables that are like 2015. I'm like, oh, it's a downloadable.
Well,
like,
why'd you even announce it now?
Yeah.
Though they did have one 2015 game that's worth getting super pumped for: the next Zelda game, which genuinely looks like a cel shaded Skyrim.
Yeah,
which is sweet.
They showed off like a minute of footage, or maybe like 20 seconds. It was on screen.
It was
like
a screen.
Yeah, but they showed off a screen, but it was in motion. But Aonuma.
Aonuma
was like pointing. He's like, look at the mountains in the background. You can just ride there. You can take on anything from any angle you want. It was huge, beautiful open world. And then they showed about like 20 seconds of footage of like him riding and fighting. He was dressed in like a blue tunic, which is probably just means he hasn't gotten his Hero of Time get up yet.
So I saw some people on Twitter saying like, is that a girl? Is Link secretly a girl this time?
A lot of people thought it was going to be Zelda.
Oh god, yeah.
If Zelda was Link, or if like at the end of the game they're like, we now crown you Princess Zelda for saving our
country. And he goes like,
how they actually get Princess Zelda's.
And there wasn't any sword play either. It was just that fancy transforming arrow.
Yeah.
Was that like a magic axe arrow thing?
Yeah, it's like very like Nintendo to show off a teaser for a game. And this is the same thing they did when they teased Skyward Sword, where like they tease something with no information, but there's a little too much detail in it for it to be no new information. And then websites are going to look through it and tear it apart and be like, oh shit, if you look at that arrow, it actually has an eye in it, and that probably means that it's like his Navi or something. Like, it's people are going to be able to dig into it, and by people I mean Games Radar. Expect to see that article later today.
I did think it looked like Shadow of the Colossus a bit too.
They finally showed some footage of Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. It looks like we expected, full 3DS game.
Yep. And there was a little bit afterwards that apparently the rumor was going on that they're going to have primal reversions now.
Yeah.
Like so D evolutions to go with mega evolutions. Like,
huh.
So
technically, cool.
You can see it on the cover legendaries. Kyogre and Groudon are both primal versions of themselves.
Yeah, so it's instead of going to the next form, it's the like what they were in the like dinosaur times when it was they were basically just T-Rexes. we got to see some Bayonetta. Bayonetta's going to be cosplaying as Peach, Link, and Samus, and it's going to come with Bayonetta 1 on the same disc for Bayonetta 2.
Awesome.
And it's coming out in October.
That was great. Yeah, the only downside was that it's like it's August for Japan, October for here, but it's not such a big delay.
That was a great idea on their part because nobody on the Wii got to play it before. So.
Exactly, yeah. And then speaking of still coming out this year, Hyrule Warriors, which is going to let you play as Midna.
And Zelda. Midna and Zelda both playable. Like, that looked good, the brief shots of it. It made me more excited for it. Like, I think they also just have Aonuma talk about, like, hey, no, I approve of this. This has the right to exist.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty, and it also got away from showing now I can't remember her name, but the villainess in the game who has just her giant revealing boobs all around.
Mm-hmm. Like, very giant, very revealing. Wow.
It just when I saw that, I was like, ugh, Tecmo, just rolling my eyes. And so I didn't like seeing that in a Zelda game, but they stepped away from that. And yeah, like Zelda looked like her Twilight Princess, or no, she looked like her Skyward Sword self, and Midna looked like Midna.
Yeah, so. It looked cool. Kirby and the Rainbow Curse, by the way.
Okay.
Xenoblade Chronicles X, the second game of E3 that is just another game's name with the letter X at the end.
Well, I'm kind of curious, too, if this is like a direct sequel to Xenoblade Chronicles. Obviously, it takes place in the same universe, so they probably wouldn't name it that. But it looked really cool. That was mostly like a story setup trailer. And there were just tons of people and robots blowing stuff up. So nice. Looks pretty awesome.
It does.
Yeah, it looked. I thought it was great. And I kept thinking, like, ever since it was announced, Nintendo was going to say, nah, we're not putting that in America. We're just not. And they just, like, keep making it clear. Like, no, for real. We're putting this one out in America. You don't have to give
That's
it
another
a petition.
2015 game. Man, that year's crowded.
Yeah. Boy, 2015, yeah. I bet that Zelda will not be out in 2015. It'll be early 2016. I bet.
I hope you're wrong. Yeah. Mario Maker.
Yeah, for real. It was a real deal. And I love that you could swap between the visuals of 8-bit original Super Mario Brothers and new Super Mario Brothers U. Like, that was really neat.
Yeah, they showed off some crazy levels. It's you can make the levels like as you play through them. Mm-hmm. It's basically Little Big Planet except a little more sedated.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for it. It looks really neat. And it's like it's weird though, cuz it's not like it's not strictly 8-bit art. It almost looks like 8-bit art as like cutouts. With, like, casting shadows on the background and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Not, like, perfect, but, yeah. It's, yeah. I am excited to play around with it. I'm not the type to build levels and go into a lot of work with that stuff, but yeah, I'll play other people.
But other people will.
Oh, yeah. And Splatoon.
Splatoon.
That was that weird discussion they were having, like, what if you were a human, but you could also turn into a squid?
It definitely sounded like a stoner conversation. Like, yeah, we were sitting around one day discussing what would it be like? You could probably move through ink if you were a squid, but humans could run. And it's like, why were you having this conversation? Like, what spurred this conversation?
Special brownies. Yeah. Special brownie party.
Yeah, right. I missed the trailer for that. When I look up, I'm like, why is there ink all over the place?
Yeah.
And what is going on?
Yeah, it's this... I know Miyamoto was kind of proud of that one. We'll get to this in a little bit. But yeah, I got to see an event with Miyamoto, and he was talking about that game and just that it's a bunch of newer staff, younger staff on his team that just, like, pitch this. He's like, all right, run with it.
Student project.
Yeah, so that's
it's
why.
It's an intern program.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why it doesn't feel totally like a Nintendo. Well, it feels like a Nintendo game, but not in the genre they would normally do.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they showed off Palutena and Star Fox.
Barely. All right. So, yeah, I was shocked that it only leaked like an hour before the thing. But, yeah, on Sunday night, I got to see Star Fox. That was this private event Nintendo hosted. And it was Star Fox Wii U. It won't be playable at E3 even. It was only at this
event.
Well,
you played it there.
I did play it there. It was really early, and I think that's why they didn't want people to play it. So this is going to be – this is a tough concept for people to get with it. I'm wondering how people are reacting to it, but like Star Fox, it looks like Star Fox regular on the TV, but you point to shoot where you shoot, like instead of just blasting out in front of you, you point with the gamepad via motion controls and you're holding up the gamepad eye level, and so you're like looking between the TV and the gamepad and then moving around to shoot. It gets a little easier with the lock-on. Like, you can do lock-on missiles and just paint your targets so you don't have to be as accurate. But it was tough at first. After 10 minutes, I got used to it. But I don't... When I played it, it didn't feel like it needed to be there. And
I feel... I have a hard time imagining that's not going to eventually change.
Yeah. Well, I think what'll happen is they'll be like... When they showed Kid Icarus Uprising, people were also... The first time they showed off that Kid Icarus game, people thought, these controls suck. Like, they need to make it old. Just make it the old controls. And Nintendo really held strong to their thing. Like, no, we're not changing it. We like these controls. But they did improve it to the point that it was good, but I still would have rather played it with just traditional controls. Mm-hmm. So I think that's also why they had us had this very limited playable event, just to see like outsider reactions to it. And I think it'll be refined a bit. But as it was then, like it was fun. It was fun, and it was very Star Fox 64. Like, the characters were saying the dumb crap they always say.
They're dumb flappy heads.
Yeah, yeah, flappy heads, not HD heads. Like, very though. I think.
Well, I mean, technically HD.
It was HD, but like not finely detailed. But I think that could have just been like placeholder shots.
Yeah,
also.
I'm sure it's probably a little ways out yet.
But there were lines like "I can't lose," like Wolf says that when he dies, and Slippy was saying "Help me, Fox!" Like It felt like a Fox. Also, that there was a new helicopter unit, and that you can transform from an R-Wing into a Landmaster. But, yeah, it's you guys can't see much of it because Nintendo so far has only given us one image of the game, which
and
is
it's awful image.
It is a blurry off-screen shot of Miyamoto playing it. And that's all we have. Yeah.
There's more Miyamoto than there is Star Fox in that picture.
That shows that shows how non-committal they are to the game. Like, I bet they think that... Like, its looks are going to change a lot, too. Like, it's just still at a very early level.
Hopefully, because it doesn't look great.
Nope.
No. I mean, we know the Wii U can do better. Mario Kart proved that it can do much better, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and I Zelda footage.
I definitely think this is just a move for, like, see, we are working on all these things you guys
Star
want.
Fox.
Even
that was all of EA.
Hardly even a game at this point.
It was. This has been a very conceptual E3 in general so far.
There are games coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you'll see more next year.
That's the theme of this E3, conceptual prototype.
Yep, including Nintendo. They had a bunch of conceptual prototypes. They were lousy with conceptual prototypes.
Yep.
So overall, what do you guys think of Nintendo?
Good, good.
I like Yarn Yoshi.
Yeah.
I like
Yarn Yoshi. Yoshi's Woolly
World.
Woolly's World.
And
Woolly World.
And the Zelda had a lot of wow factor to it, too. The Zelda
Zelda's really nice.
They didn't show off a lot, but what they did show off, I mean, they showed off miles of world.
Yeah. One thing I think I really appreciated about their conference, too, was just their, like, tongue-in-cheek humor about themselves.
Yeah. You know,
they were very self-aware, and so I thought that was very, very good for them.
That was pretty cute.
And, like, their E3 is just getting started with, like, well, for all of us it is, but, like, the Smash Brothers tournament that's happening across the street, like, that we're going to have to wade through so many dudes to get into that tournament.
No doubt.
It is going to be so crowded, like, just to get in there, but... But I'm looking forward to Cooper and I are going to have our own Smash Brothers tournament just between each other.
That's right.
In a little bit.
So we're going to do our best to steal some NFC figures. I can guarantee. We're going to swipe all.
Grabbing them all.
I brought a diamond ring with me. I'm just going to cut through the glass and just punch it out.
It's a good call.
You just distract Nintendo. Like, oh hey, what was this game Fantasy Life? I'd like to check that out.
And they'll be like, oh, somebody wants to see Fantasy Life, and every Nintendo person runs over and they're like, do you want to see Toad Game next? And I'll be like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, oh, you want to see Splats or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Splatoon.
No Dragon Quest VII. Damn it.
I should not be surprised
when
by that.
I'm gonna keep whining to Nintendo reps every time I see them until they publish Dragon Quest VII.
Did you know I wanted Dragon Quest VII?
Thanks.
Signed, Henry. So, yeah. That's the press conferences. A lot of 2015 releases.
Oh, boy.
2015 is going to be the best year
it's
ever.
It's going to be great.
Not so many 2014 releases.
We got some.
A couple, two, three.
2014 is an okay year.
I mean, 2013 is still going to be amazing, but they're 2014. But
that means there's stuff to look forward to.
There certainly is. And there's stuff to read about and listen to us talk about on Radio Radar and Games Radar.
We will run that into the ground.
Segway. Just segwayed that. So we're going to let you go. We're going to go do some...
E3 in.
But be sure to check out Games Radar. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and all that stuff. And we will return with a regularly scheduled Radio Radar at the end of the week. So, see you later.